So I thought about, the pastor asked me to preach what I would speak on. I thought about, after all this COVID stuff, and everything being in our world locked down, people being out of work, some people losing their jobs, and some businesses closing, and it's been a weird time in history for us. As we get back to going to church, what's really important? And that's what I want to look at in the scriptures this morning. If you take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking at a large passage in Matthew 6 this evening. In the 6 o'clock service, but a verse that perhaps you've memorized, but I wonder how well any of us really know it. Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It's a great verse in the Word of God, and we trust it'll be a blessing to all of us. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures. And we pray your blessing upon the pastor and Janice as they're away, and watch over them. And now as we have opportunity this morning to open the scriptures, Lord, we pray that you would open them to us. And give us, Lord, a mind and a heart to receive the things of the Word of God, and might be truly helped and ministered to, and say, the Lord was in this place. And may you have your hand on me and my old voice. I pray, Father, that you help me to think even only the right things that you'd have me to say this morning. And bless this time and lead us in the scriptures, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We should start out this morning by having an understanding of who I am. I've had a good look in my life over the last number of years and look down through the various sins and mistakes over the years and looked at them all. And I've reached the conclusion in my life that what I really am is nothing. As a matter of fact, I was driving to a service call up in Grand Bend, and between Park Hill and Grand Bend, that stretch of road. I was driving along as I was examining my own life and thinking about me and what I am. And I saw myself as I was driving down the road. As I was driving down the road, on the side of the road, I saw a small bit of paper, just a piece of garbage on the side of the road. Piece of garbage, ripped, small, stuck in the grass. I thought, how many people have drove down this road and have never even seen that? But there I am right there. I'm absolutely nothing. But I'll tell you, God is everything. The Lord is everything. And nothing is all right with the one who is everything, because he made this whole world out of nothing. So nothing is not too difficult for him. What I see and what I understand, what I know about Paul when he said, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." No good thing. What are you, Paul? He said, "I'm nothing. There's not one good thing dwelling in me, in the old flesh." He said, I know what it is. Good for all of us to know what we are. But here in the scriptures, we're encouraged to seek. The word seek means to look for something in order to find it. Just the other day, I was looking for something at work, and I couldn't find it. And so I asked one of the other guys to where this was. I need a certain plug. And he said to me, "You man looked." Apparently at his home, that's a statement, man looking, where you don't really look at all.
I couldn't find a thing at home, I don't think, if it wasn't for my wife. Oh, how many times I have to ask her where something is, or where she put it. But I guess the trouble with men is a lot of times men don't really look, or they don't really look in order to find something. And some of you are nodding. Yep, men are like that. But I think we're told in the Bible here we need to seek in order to find. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek. The word seek has the idea of aim at. I took Dad's shotgun one day in the farm out, and there was a whole whack of starlings. I don't particularly like starlings. I know you shouldn't dislike something God made, but they don't belong here. They're from over in England. I hear they came over on one of the boats early on. And so I see them as, you know, they shouldn't be here. And so anyway, one day we had so many starlings out in the trees. I took Dad's shotgun out, and the old double-barrel shotgun, it's hard to know how to aim that thing, because if you're familiar with them, the barrels, of course, are big at the butt end, and then they're narrow as they go down. So should you look down the center, because that's not straight with the barrel? And so I wasn't really sure where to look, but anyway, I took a shot at one of the birds, and I missed it. But you've always got the second on the old double barrel. And so while they're flying overhead, I tried to hit another one. But it wasn't aiming. And so guess what? Even though I had a shotgun, I still didn't hit anything. Well, you can't just live your life, you know. You just can't just live your life and go through life. The Bible says we should seek something. We should aim our lives. We should have some direction. And your life shouldn't be an empty void. And you should be full of something. And we're told what to do with it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the Bible says. And if you would look in your Bible, look to the previous verse. It says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Everybody's seeking something. But we're not supposed to be seeking what the Gentiles are seeking. The Gentile is just a word for all the unsaved people in the world. Not God's people. That's the Gentiles. We're to seek after, we're to crave, desire the things of God. Now the world is seeking things, fashion, importance, pleasures, attention, houses, boats, cottages. These things aren't wrong in themselves. It's not wrong to have things. It's only wrong when the goal and the only goal is things. Things really replacing God. And what a terrible thing it is when things are the center of attention, when God is only supposed to be the center of our attention. If things become in the place and the love of a life that only God should be, then that's not right. And so we're told, but, not like them in the previous verse. They're seeking, the Gentiles are seeking things. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We should have this desire. And to look to the Lord. We must seek the things of the Lord. If our things ever come into competition in our life with God's things, I think you know which one must take precedence. The things of God must always be the highest priority in our lives. So if things that are just other interests in our life are crowding the time and the attention that the Lord should have, then those things are wrong. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek God first. How should we seek him first? Well, how about seeking him first in our days as early as possible? Which would be, if you haven't been seeking him up till now, now's the time to seek him. First in importance, making all else second. When Marlene and I got married, I never promised to love her first. I promised to love her second after God. And that's the way it should be, and I trust that that's the way it's always been, and I hope the way it always will be. First in our love, Christ above every other love. The first commandment has to do with our love being first for God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. The first commandment, the first thing is for the Lord to be first in our love. Should be first in our day. David just said in Psalms about the Lord, he said, early will I seek thee. Do we seek the Lord early? Do we look for him at the first light of day or at the first moment that you're awake? Do you begin to talk to the Lord? Seek him early. Should be first in our relationships. If there's not enough time for all that we like to give attention to, there should always be enough time for the Lord. First in our duty, we ought to please God before man. First in our food, taking time to pray. One time I was out in a service call and I stopped at McDonald's and got some supper. I was working late and I was going to be late getting home, so I stopped and got some supper. And I got my meal and I sat at a table, and as I sat down, the first thing I did was bow my head and pray. And over here was a couple, and I heard one of them say, "You don't see that anymore." And I know what they were talking about. You don't see many people praying. The Lord should be first in our food. He should be first in our money. And the Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. Where do you take the tithe off? You take the tithe off first. I learned years ago, what you do is you give the Lord his due. And if you don't have enough money left for groceries, the Lord will still feed you. Give the Lord his due, and the tithe is the Lord's. Give him first in the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. It's the Lord's day. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, the Bible says, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, as we see the day when Jesus is coming back. It's so much more important to be faithful to the house of God now when so many are being unfaithful. Seek him in time and place, in any succession of things, seek the Lord first. No matter what we talk about in life, God deserves first place. Christ is worthy of nothing less than all honor, all glory, and all praise. What honor is second place? Not many people say, I ran this race and I got second. You didn't win. It's the person that is first that is always glad to win a race. They're the one that won. What glory and honor is it for the Lord to be second to a worldly thing, to be second to our garden or our car? What glory and praise to be second to the kitchen floor, or the trip we want to take, or to be thought second to the money that we want to invest, or the new outfit that you want to get. Isn't God worthy of more attention than a nice meal out? First is what is commanded in the Bible. First love is commanded, is not suggested. It's the only place for God to be. What is the first aim of our love? What is the goal of our lives? What is the direction? Everybody's life is direction. I guarantee that someone dear to you knows you well enough to know what the real direction of your life is. Is the aim of your life? Do you seek the things of God, or the things of God the highest priority in your life? Those who know us know what is really important to us. Seek first the kingdom of God, the Bible says. Apostle Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." One thing, Paul said, I'm only doing one thing in this world. What did he mean? Does he mean he didn't do anything else? He didn't ever prepare a meal or fix a tent? Of course he did those things. But he did all of those things to do the one thing, to seek the Lord above all things. And seek ye first the kingdom of God. What exactly is the kingdom of God? I liked how Thayer put it the best, actually. So I researched into it. The kingdom of God here doesn't mean specifically an earthly kingdom or a kingdom. What it is referring to is the right to rule, or the power and authority to rule in a kingdom. If it's not the specific coming kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God that Jesus would be referring to right here. In Luke 17, 20 and 21, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for the kingdom of God is within you." That's the kingdom he's talking about, the kingdom within. The right to rule in our hearts, the authority to rule in our lives. That's what we're supposed to be seeking first. Seek first that the Lord has the right to rule. Does he have the right to what we do in a day? To what we think, what we say with this body? We seek first God's authority in our lives. I have to turn. You can turn there with me if you want. We're coming right back here, though, to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 19, the last two verses. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I want you to notice very carefully. Notice what he says here. He says, what? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? It is a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know? Why would he say that? Because some were living like they didn't know that. And so he wrote to the church at Corinth and said, the Holy Ghost, which is in you, God is dwelling in you. He's dwelling in your body, in my body, if you're a saved soul. And you have him of God. It's nothing of your doing that the Holy Spirit is dwelling there. He's dwelling there because you're saved. Part of our salvation. But I want you to notice this last statement. And ye are not your own. Ye are not your own. You know, people say, well, I'll do what I want to with this body. Well, I'll have you know that that is theft. That is stealing. You say, well, that can't be true. But it is so true. You're not your own. If you're saved, you don't belong to you anymore. So you do not have the right and you do not have the authority what you do with your body. You can't say, well, I'll do what I want with my hands. If I want to punch someone in the face, I'll do that with my hands. Well, you are a thief. For you are taking what that body that belongs to God and using it for what you want to do. We are bought. I'll look at that a little bit in a minute. But verse 20, we are bought with a price. Because of the price that has been paid for your salvation, you don't have a right to do what you want to with your body. We are bought, we're purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood. And so, therefore, because you're bought, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? God's. Glorify God in your body, the Bible says. No one can ever say, well, I'll choose where this body goes. I'll decide what these eyes look like, look at. And whatever movies or whatever I want to do, I'll decide where my hands do. It's not your body anymore. You don't get to decide. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God in you, where you recognize the authority and the right for him to rule and to rule your body and to say what you can do with your body and what I can do with my body and in your spirit. The other day I was driving and I got angry with what someone else did. That's a problem, isn't it? And I immediately recognized that and said, Lord, forgive me for that. I should not be angry because of what someone else is doing on the road. I should not be, because I do not have the right over my spirit. My spirit needs to be under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek first the authority of God. We would like to fix everybody else's sins. That's not our business. The greatest sins are the sins in my life, and your greatest sins are the sins in your life. And the position of the Lord and authority over even our spirit, which would be our attitude, And how we respond, how the person that we are responds in life. You say, well, I can act the way I want. No, I don't think so. If you're saved, you cannot do that. And not only that, you need to purposely seek first the kingdom of God. You need to purposely seek what the Lord would have you to do. And I've got to go quickly. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want to look at the great price that was paid. Why? You're not your own. The Bible says, we're not our own. I'm not my own. You're not your own. It's not like it was when we were lost. 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. If you call on the Father who with respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Well, you do call on the Father. You call him, you're saved, you call on the Father. He's going to judge everybody with no favoritism, no respect to persons, no thinking, you know, that you are better than someone else. So the Bible says, pass your time living in this world. You're sojourning. You're just passing through this world. But pass through it with a fear. Have some fear for God, because he's going to judge every one of us. And verse 18, for as much as you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold. You know, funny, we think silver and gold is the most uncorruptible thing. That's why when the stock markets dive, everybody buys gold. Gold starts going way up, and it's ridiculous heights now of what gold is because of the instability of the world. And people think that gold would be a sure thing, but it's a corruptible thing in the eyes of God. It's nothing for the child of God to live for. They pave the roads with that where we're going. It's of no value in heaven. You weren't redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain, your empty lifestyle, vain conversation. Conversation means lifestyle in old English words. Received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You were bought with something out of this world. The blood of God. God and man joined together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolute God and perfect man dying for our sins. There's nothing in this world to pay for sin, and there's only ever been one thing ever that could pay for sin. That was the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. Do you know how precious that makes it? How valuable that blood is? There's never been anything like that blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus that has saved us from our sins is what bought us. And that's why we need to be under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in life and recognize his right to rule over us, because there's nothing like that. And then our text, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness has to do with the plan of salvation and how we respond to the plan of salvation. It has to do with how God makes a sinner righteous. He imputes the righteousness of God on, takes our sins and gives us the very righteousness of Jesus Christ is put to our account. Now we're supposed to seek his righteousness. His righteousness, as used in this passage, really means for a man or a woman to be everything that we should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that you should be. Everything that I should be. We have the ability to please God. That's the idea in the righteousness of Christ. We can please God. The condition of being acceptable to God and being all that we should be. I know that's a slogan for the U.S. Army. You know, be all you can be. But you know what? We need to be all that he can make us into being. Not just all of what we are in ourselves, but all that he can make us. But all, seek his righteousness is seeking things like purity of life. Be holy as I'm holy, the Lord said. Correct thinking and feeling and action, following the holiness of God, seeking to follow what he says is right, knowing your Bible and living to please God, and not even others or yourself, but pleasing God. And looking for these two things, really, looking for having your life, a life that pleases God in accordance to the Word of God, and being under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the first things. These are the most important things in our whole life. Seek first the kingdom of God, his authority over us, and his righteousness. And then what does it say?
And all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Well, all the things that are talked about earlier in the chapter, and I'll look at those tonight. But what I want you to see is they're the things in verse 32 that the Gentiles are seeking. People are living and dying to try to put some money in the bank in order to take care of retirement, or to have a boat, or to have a cottage, or to have something, some nice thing. People are living for things in this world. They live for things. Do you know what the Lord says? He says, if you would put me first, and if you would seek to always be under the authority of Jesus Christ, and do, think with your body, act with your body, what God would have you do, and then to act His righteousness, to act out, to act and to be everything that God would have us to be and everything we can be in the power of the Holy Spirit. God says, if you focus your attention on that, keep that always first, without even asking, I will add all these things into your life. All the things that everybody else is living for, I'll give you those things. I'll give you all the things the world wants and everything you could desire in the world. God says, I'll give you all these things if you would just stay under my authority, if you would seek always to keep me first. And under his authority and what pleases him and honors him in life, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, oh, I don't believe that. That's your problem. You always come to the Bible to believe what God says, not what we think. All these things shall be added unto you in context there. We have so much of our life has been completely upside down. And as usual, what God wants is completely opposite to what the world is doing. The world is fighting and striving and trying to get ahead in life and trying to get nice things, a nice house, a nice car. And those things aren't wrong, but they're wrong if that's what you're seeking. Because that's not what we're supposed to seek. And we don't have time for God because we're so busy doing what we want to do and what we think is important. And God says, hey, I'm the one that's important. It's me. It's me that's to be first. It's me that's to receive honor and glory and praise. And here's how. Take everything you do with your body and put it under the rulership. You don't belong to yourself. Put it under the authority of Jesus Christ. And think, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to look at? What does God want me to talk about? All these things that we do with our body. And then to seek his righteousness. What pleases God in this world? And if we would invest our life in seeking these things as this one thing in our life, to please God and to be under his authority at all times, he said, I will add all of these other things that everybody else is seeking for to you. You say, could that possibly work? As I stand here this morning, it works. Absolutely. Now, that doesn't mean that you might end up as wealthy as some people in the world. But I've found that we have, well, really, more money than we need. I mean, we could live on less. We have lived on less. The blessing of God. Oh, the wonderful blessing of God. They'll just take what the world has and turn it right upside down. Then you got what God wants. What God wants is that we put him above everything else. And this verse is one of the best known verses, one of the least known verses in the Bible. Because we don't understand that if we would just seek first God's authority and pleasing God in our life according to the Bible, that he would add all these things unto you. Just add them. Just give you good things. Give you worldly things. Give you things of this earth. Bless your life all over and over and again. You don't get things by seeking things. You don't get money by living for money. You don't get a nice house by making that the goal of your life. As a child of God, the Lord must be in charge. He must rule. And he needs to rule in us. And he has the right, and he's paid the price to rule in us and in our bodies and be in control of us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. The Lord says, I'll just add them in. And if that's what you want, just mention it to me. You say, that sounds weird. No, it's not weird. It's even in the Old Testament. That's exactly what God did for Solomon. The Bible says, if I had time, we'd look at 1 Kings 3. chapter 3. And the Bible says in verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David. See those two things? He had respect for what pleased God. He was seeking the righteousness of God, and he loved the Lord. So it put him in first place. In verse 4, he had respect for the authority of the Lord. He offered the Lord 1,000 burnt offerings. Now, Solomon was rich. That'd be like maybe you offering one burnt offering. But in his riches, he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. In verse 5, God came to him in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. God said, ask whatever you want. Ask it of me, whatever you want. Just ask me. And Solomon said different things. He said, you know, you've honored my father. You've given him a son in great kindness to sit on his throne in verse 6. In verse 7, he said, but the trouble is, I am a little child. And I don't know how to go out and how to come in. He said, I don't even know how to behave as a king. I'm a little child, he said. I'm just like, I'm over this great people. How am I ever going to rule this great people? And you see where the authority was. He knew he needed to rule the people for God. So he asked God to give him wisdom. That in verse 9, give an understanding heart that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this so great a people? He recognized the authority of God and he wanted to be able to bring the whole kingdom under the authority of God. This is Matthew 6:33 right here. And verse 10 says, the speech pleased the Lord. And in verse 11, God says, because thou asked this thing, and you haven't asked long life or riches for yourself or the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding, behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. And he goes on to say, because you didn't ask for what everybody else would have asked for. Everybody else would have asked for riches. Everybody else would have asked for the defeat for all their enemies. Everybody else would have asked for a long life. He said, you didn't ask for any of those things. And because you asked for the right thing, he sought the right thing. The honor and glory of God and to please God. And to focus his life on that and being under the authority of God. So God says, well, let me give you everything that you didn't ask for. And so there was no king ever as rich as Solomon. There's no king as beautiful and esteemed as him. No king had such peace in his kingdom and no enemies to fight. He answered all these things. Because that's what God does. If you seek the right thing, he adds all these other things unto you. Because the word of God cannot be broken. And it is true. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures. We pray that you would challenge us in our hearts and lives. What are we doing with our bodies and with our lives? Are we under your authority as we should be? Recognizing that we don't get to make the choice. And are we pleasing you in everything? Putting you first and seeking to please you and be exactly what you want us to be? And we pray that you will teach us these things, to put these things first in our life and remind us always of it, that we might have all these things, all these earthly things and blessings added unto us. Thank you, Father, for the teaching of the Word of God. Make it to resound in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.